This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Spiegel and Holmes.
We're cooking with hot grease now, man.
Afternoons on the Score.
Yeah, but I think, you know, personally, and because I've said that, I mean, you know, we all know, obviously, I had success early, you know, playoff game, early, all that stuff, okay? And then it kind of fell apart at the end, obviously. But at Miami is where I had all my success. You know what I mean? 10, 11 wins a year, 12. And it must be the mustache and that I smoke cigars and I like steak and red wine. That must be the hook here in Chicago. That's the only thing.
Yeah. That's the first line of your resume.
And maybe my accent. Maybe the Pittsburgh accent carries over a little bit. But
that might be.
No, this is people in Chicago have been so good. It's fun. But at the end of the day, you know what I think it is? This is a football town.
He's right. It is a football town. He's just a really lovable guy.
He's a lovable guy. He's plain spoken. He's easy to relate to. And, you know, it's funny. Like, whenever we talk, whenever I get a chance to talk to young people who want to get into broadcasting, I always tell them, look, be fun to work with. Be really fun to work with because that stuff comes back around. Be a good collaborator, you know? And can't you tell that Dave Wannstedt has been a good collaborator at every stop of his life and career?
100%. Him doing stuff with us over at NBC, him doing stuff here, him doing stuff at Fox.
Him being a linebackers coach at Oklahoma State and then being a D coordinator. It's like, and everybody's like, I want to work with that guy.
Him being a lead recruiter at Miami. Like the guy is...
Lead recruiter at USC!
You will be charmed by Dave Wannstedt.
Yeah, and you will probably end up hiring him again.
Yep.
And it's so it's no wonder that his popularity is what it is.
Bears training camp coverage on the Score is presented by Chevy Drive Chicago and the number one draft pick, Chevy Silverado, the official truck partner of the Chicago Bears.
Dave Wannstedt's going to be with us on Thursday, but I know that he saw practice and had some thoughts, and you saw practice and had some thoughts the very same day that Wani was there.
What was great about it is Dave was here doing some stuff. And I said, yeah, I'm going to be at practice on Thursday. He's like, oh, okay, great. So,
and I'm always available unless I'm doing something.
But I still hadn't been to a practice at House Hall in a while. So I didn't know what the protocols were because back in the Bourbonnais days, I could have stood with Dave, like watching practice.
Oh, that was the best. Let's take a knee. And you take a knee with somebody so you don't stand in front of the crowd.
Correct.
And you're watching practice right from the side.
And look, it's a different way that most NFL teams are doing camp. Most of them are back on campus, which gives them, financially, it's a lot better for teams and it gives them a lot more control of what's going on. The part that stinks, and I talked about this on House of L, I really like the experience of going away somewhere to a college campus because there is going to be a large portion of your fan base that cannot afford to go to a game. And tickets for the Bears are always so limited. So seeing people be so excited in Bourbonnais because they were getting an opportunity to, oh my God, Devin Hester's 10 feet from me. Oh my God, that's Brian Urlacher. They would get 10,000 people to those practices down there. And that's a lot of people that will almost never get a chance to go to Soldier Field or go on the road and watch games. So I do miss that.
That has changed. There were 23,000 people at Soldier Field, and that's more than all who have seen practices combined
so
far.
Yeah, and I like what the Bears have done. Like, if you go there now, if you get one of the tickets and you can go there now, they do make it a fun, interactive experience. Like, they have like a video game trailer, and there's all some of the stuff that you would see down in a Bourbonnais. They have it now built on their campus, and they owe a debt of gratitude to Ryan Pace because he's the one that switched everything around and got the additions and everything built up over there. So it's a little bit different from when I, it's a lot different from when I covered the team on a daily basis. But going out there, still a fun experience. Robbie Gold had brought his team, the St. Viator team, out there that day. So they were sitting. There's a couple of pavilions for people to sit. You're not as close to the action as you would like. They're back behind the Walter Payton Center. And it's kind of a cool vibe because the Metrotrax have always run right behind House Hall. So you'll, when you see some of the highlights, you'll invariably hear like a Metro horn in the background and the train going by. So it's a cool vibe that they have. It's just a limited amount of space. So it's not great for fans that want to get out there and see their team. There's a lot to I was happy to be up there and see people. The first two people to greet me were Jeff and Tom. Like, they were the first two people to greet me as I walked in the door. And, you know, when you're the talk show host who helicopters in, you get the business a little bit. Like, that's something that does happen. But I spent a lot of time talking to a bunch of people up there. Some folks I hadn't seen for a really long time, and it was wonderful to see some of them, honestly. Like, there are people who I covered, and they're still there, and you're like, wow, like, look at you. Mm-hmm. Like, you're still here, and it was kind of the same thing. You're still there, and it was fun to be around, but there are a lot of people who are high on Ben Johnson. As it was explained to me, last year, as you would imagine, there were a lot of things being done, and there may have been some veteran players who were taking advantage of Matt Eberflus and his naivete.
Oh, no way.
Yeah. Yeah. But one of the things that this...
meaning what?
Well, meaning, for example, since training camp practices are held on campus, it'd be very easy for a veteran player to say, I'm not going to stay in the hotel. I'm going to... Coach, I like my bed. I'm going to stay at home.
What would he say to that?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, he'd just kind of go for it.
And that has not been what's gone on with Ben. All of the players have been at the hotel.
Good.
Every single one of them. Now, I've heard that there's a sliding scale for when veterans can start leaving the hotel. That, like, if you're, you know, Grady Jarrett, someone like that, maybe you can leave tomorrow versus the rookies and the younger players that have to be there the whole time. But there's a huge difference. Well, here's how it was explained to me. I was told last year there were a whole bunch of suggestions and a whole bunch of suggestion boxes for people to dump their suggestions in.
From players towards the coach.
Uh-huh. And I was told, there are no more suggestion boxes. This is Ben's thing.
I love it.
I figured you might.
You know how I have felt about them desperately needing a coach to take charge of everything and just dictate how he wants to do it. Maybe it won't work. Maybe it will. I have some optimism that it will because of the guy's thought process and everything he does. But either way, that's the way it's got to be in the NFL. The coach is that godhead in charge of everything, and his way is the final way that you do things, and that will connect in football with the way that you practice and hopefully the way that you play.
I see some people struggling a little bit inside the Twitch. The suggestion box is a metaphor. It wasn't an actual thing. This person that I talked to was explaining that Ben's in charge, and they use the suggestion box as a metaphor.
They're imagining, you know, Montez walking around with a yellow pad.
Yeah, that's not
writing stuff down. Oh no, let me fold this.
It was just that they were just like, oh, coach, what do you think about blah blah blah?
Yeah,
and he would.
We have family dinner, you know, 5:30 to 6:30.
Yeah,
let's do.
Is it bad
dinner
that I actually thought that he had a suggestion box?
I'm glad I
could see Flus actually doing that.
Well, we did have a coach here in Chicago that literally had a time card punch clock thing. So it's important that we do explain that that was metaphorical and not literal.
Joe Madden had a suggestion box and a question and answer box, right? But that was just for the radio audience.
Yeah, that was Tony Gill who had that. He put that together for him, and then we ask a question, and then Tony would get his feelings hurt because Joe doesn't like oatmeal raisin cookies either, as he shouldn't. It's terrible in comparison to chocolate chip.
Yeah, I don't like oatmeal raisin. That's a bummer every time I see it. And sometimes it looks like it's chocolate chip, and it's fake chocolate chip.
Exactly. Speaks, you get it. Yeah, this guy gets it. Yeah. The other thing that stood out, the practice was really clean that I went to. And so it was part of the two practices that Ben Johnson had said were really good up until Sunday. It was a pretty clean practice. You saw guys making plays on both sides of the ball. There wasn't a lot of the sloppiness that was going on there when I was there. If people ask us all the time, like they'll say, hey, Speaks, how does such and such look at practice? And you want to temper stuff because it's practice, number one, and it doesn't necessarily translate. There was one guy that I kept circling. Every time this guy made a play, I was like, And that's Luther Burden. Burden had come back from the injury, and he had been out there, and I see what they like.
You see the athletic explosiveness and the speed?
The run after the catch stuff with him could be a lot of fun inside of this offense for sure. I think that they want Ozzie Trapillo to win that job at left tackle. And they have set it up for him to win. And Ben talked about that it's the three guys, and he's going to give each of them reps with the first team. But if I'm Braxton Jones, I am insulted by that. I have been the starter. And now there's a guy that you drafted, and you have to think about who's – if we go back to the there are no suggestion boxes – and Ben is in charge of everything that goes on
up
there.
Yeah, man, of course. This is a spot for him to win a battle or let Ryan Poles win a battle, but Ben's just going to let whoever wins the battle win the battle.
Right, but the fact that they've tipped the scale for Ozzie Trapillo with reps, and they're like, instead of making him the swing guy, they're like, no. Let's try you out at left tackle. Let's see if this whole thing works.
Well, Ryan Poles has previously told us that's up to Ben. The reps are up to Ben.
100%.
And to Dan Rauschard, the offensive line coach.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I really do like the way, like the tempo of practice, because it was the longest practice, and it went by fairly quickly, and it was great for me. Like Leisure did a great job of kind of like walking me through how things work there now. I joked that I had to check in with the big homie. I had to check in with Jason Leisure. I sat down there. Ben is great in the room. He's a lot of fun and interesting when it comes to answering questions of people. I like that. Nothing seems to be off limits. Granted, this is preseason and not the regular season, but he doesn't seem fearful at all. Hmm. And to get back to the most important part of this, Wani was in his element.
I love it. Let's hear Dave Wanstead with his impressions of practice. And again, we're going to talk to him on Thursday, but this is Wani this morning on the morning show.
I actually have been going back and forth with Ben since he took the job. And obviously, he was fantastic from the standpoint of open arms when you're coming up. So I said, you know, I don't want to come up here and watch guys stand around in shorts. You let me know when somebody's going to hit somebody.
Was this a padded practice?
This was, Coach, they did three live drills on Thursday. I mean, it was a one-on-one drill. They did, I call it inside run, which was like a 9-on-7 drill. And then they did some team stuff. And I mean, taking them to the ground, whatever you had to do to keep them out of the end zone type of practice. So I saw a good one, and Ben was great. And I know Dennis Allen and Bill Jones. I mean, I know, half their staff. So it was Tony Medlin, obviously, is the guy up there that's been there since I was there, Coach Ditka's been there. So it was great just to reconnect and get a close-up view. You know, Ryan Poles and I walked the field a little bit, and we're talking about players as the practice was going on. Two things that Ben said. We were talking up in his office before practice started, and two things that really caught my attention. The first thing he said was, boy, you know, he says, my coaching staff is doing a great job. I'm really excited about my staff. And that caught my attention. I mean, half these guys in the NFL, they think they're doing everything themselves.
Right.
You know what I mean? And truly.
Right.
You know, they're particularly when they become head coaches, you know, they even think in that mindset more so. And the second thing he said, you know, Coach, what's crazy? And he pointed to his board, and then he had three or four things written up there. He said, when I left the office yesterday, he said, my board was clean. And I kind of driving home was thinking to myself, boy, you know, okay, I've got that done. We're in good shape now. And I walk in today, and he says, look, and I won't get into what it was, but he says, look, we got one, two, three things that show up today. And I says, yeah. He says, that's what I'm adjusting to with the head coach at every day. And these things weren't offensive plays. You know what I mean? They're
right.
Off the field.
There were head
stuff.
Coaching duties.
Yeah, contract stuff that you got to be involved in. Maybe not making the final decision, but you must be involved in the decision. Yeah, he's going to be definitely hands-on, and obviously, which it should be. When you look at Ben Johnson, Ben, why did you get hired? Mm-hmm. You got hired because of your offensive expertise. And he trusts Dennis Allen. I mean, this thing, he was not, I mean, I was up there, like I say, in the meetings, and I was on the field, and I watched them. They were going offense versus defense, and he was with Caleb, and he was in the offensive huddle. And Dennis Allen, obviously, is running the whole defense. So, I mean, he's got a real trust there in his defensive coordinator, who's an experienced guy. And that's a big, big plus for the Bears and for Ben.
Wani was in the meetings. And then on the field,
he's on the in the drills, man. Like seeing that guy stalk the field.
Wow.
Because I was hoping that I would be able to watch a little bit of practice with him. I wasn't, because he was in it. Like he was there on the field in Bears gear. It was great to see. So I was watching it. Big Ann Heron, Jason Leisure, and I were Ryan Baker. We were watching practice together, and just seeing him in his element was really like beautiful. Well, as two guys that love Dave Wannstedt, seeing him that way was awesome.
And that'll inform his analysis all year long with us. It's just really cool to have that access and to have that inform everything. Wani was a tackle back in the day at Pitt. He was raving about the offensive line, apparently, Lawrence.
If you said to me what was probably the most impressive thing of the practice, it would have been the offensive line talent, experience, and how they're being coached. I mean, I would put all those things together. They went full speed, live, inside run, as I call it. Big guys against big guys. And I tell you what, the offensive line was moving the defense. There was movement. Now, I'm not talking about blowing them back 5 yards off the ball, but I mean, there wasn't penetration. There was not guys from the defense in the backfield. This offensive line, it was the most exciting thing probably that I walked away from practice saying, wow, there's an improved position.
The problem is, he's right. I would agree with the assessment. The problem is that group had a long way to go. So it wouldn't be hard to see the improvement from kind of where things were. The personnel's so much better than what it was at the end of last year that it's not hard to see improvement, but he's right. The other thing, and that might be a concern for the Bears, is their defensive line has got a lot of questions to it. And the question of production for them is huge going into this season. But Dave's right. Like the practice that I was at with Dave, like, you could see that there's a difference, and that's a good thing.
Dig it. Dig it. I trust his eyes and your eyes, and we're just getting rolling. 10 practices for the Bears so far. Joint practice is coming later in the week. Alex is going to go to the joint practice and
roll up.
Yeah, learn how to roll it a little tighter.
No, I think the fan base needs to go to the joint practice and just take a chill pill a little bit.
Maybe.
Just saying.
No, they might need to for sure, but it's It was a. I'm glad I went, and I'm looking forward to maybe going to at least one more up there. But it's a good vibe for sure inside of it, and it is. I'll say this: Halas Hall looks more professional now than it used to, because of the additions of that place, and I lament it not being open to the public in the way that it was back in the day. But I understand why they're doing it and everyone else is doing it too. But overall, things look a little tighter than what we experienced last year. I hope that that is real and not imagined.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.